around episode number 56. Everyone, welcome Zach. He's from Law Line. Zach's a stud. We've worked together, I don't know, two or three years right in a row. We left on good terms when we left. You know, it was very amicable. I love what they're doing. It just didn't work for either side of us. We were doing something different than they were doing. But I think you guys are studs. I love what you guys do. That's why I wanted you to come on the podcast. Kind of tell us what you guys have, where you guys started. I know Tony started it, but kind of tell us where you came along and then a lot of the changes that you guys have made. And then also what you guys have been seeing in the marketplace as far as leads and things like that. I know there's a lot to talk about, short period of time, but I'm going to hand it over to you because you're the professional here.
I could talk about that for a couple hours. One of those, yeah. Right? So yeah. This company started back with Tony, basically. So this the idea here started when we were looking around in the industry. We come from a marketing and tech heavy side, right? So Tony's background is in programming, behind the scenes type items. And they had a meeting, him and a business partner, and decided when they were looking at the way that the market was, the structure, and the revenue models basically for these businesses. And they decided that the lawn care, pest control, landscaping industry, the green industry in general, had the reoccurring profits. It was something that when you look at the scalability of it, if you employ the right processes, it's very rewarding for the business owners. There's that selling aspect as well once you hit a certain margin. So being able to get those businesses to that scale, utilizing processes that are also internally scalable, it was just basically one side matched the other side. And when you find that, it's pretty hard to find in the agency world. We're a niche agency at Lawn Line. We only work in the green industry. Many other agencies are generalist, and you'll find also others that are niche. And you'll find that the different systems employed in each different individual niche vary basically depending on what the revenue models look like of the companies that they're working with. So we found that the processes that we had experience with and the tech side could be leveraged extremely heavily in the green industry. And that was the decision to dive into the niche side and go from there. You know, Tony can tell you the story a little bit better than I can. I wasn't there. I joined a few years after. But the decision was made right when I started, about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. There was about 4 or 5 employees. It was this tiny little podunk office in Apollo Beach. The sewer clogged every single day. We had to call the landlord out. The AC would break. I mean, it was just exactly what you think of when we're just bootstrapping it. When you've got 5 employees at this tiny little office sitting shoulder to shoulder. And we basically grew it from there up to, let me back up. So at that point, when we were in that office, there was a decision made. We were actually called Lawn Line Websites at the time. And I believe you and I got in touch maybe a few months after that, but we were Lawn Line Websites. And I remember sitting down with our 5 employees and having a conversation of, do we want to change the name of this company? And it seems like such a no-brainer at this point. You know, we're probably 5 to 10 times the size we were then, and we've quadrupled our employee count. You know, everything is moving in the right direction. But back then, we were doing piecemeal projects. We were working on, if someone called up and said, hey, I just want to add one page to my website. Sure, we'll do it. It's X dollars. Or I want you to just build me a website. And we said, yeah, sure, we'll just build you a website. It's X dollars. And there was a decision made at that point, heavily impacted by 7-figure agency, which we'll dive into in a little bit later. But there was a decision made at that point of, do we go the reoccurring revenue model route where we have monthly services, or do we continue with the piecemeal aspects? And that coincided with the name change. We decided we were going to dive head deep into Lawn Line Marketing. I don't know if you've ever changed any business names. Have you, Jonas?
Sure have.
There's lawyers involved. It's expensive. It's very time intensive. It's just a general pain in the ass. And there was a point made that it was like, what is the value here? Do we really switch it? Is it worth it? Will people know who we are? Does it exemplify the services that we offer? And then the answer was yes. So we changed the name. And at that point, we switched to reoccurring services only. We took the best aspects of what we did that we found moved the needle for green industry clients. We wrapped them all up into a bundle and we said, here is the bundle, take it or leave it. This is what works. If you want to be part of what works, grab it, run with it. We'll help you get there. And if you're looking for something else, you want to just do a website build and 1 or 2 content pieces a month, it's not going to be for us. And that was definitely a scary point in the business because you don't know. You don't know how people are going to react. You don't know if people are going to say, ooh, just all inclusive. I can't choose. I want control. I'm out. And thankfully, you know, we tested it and it worked. It went to the market. People were okay with it. We forced, I can't even think of how many people off of just those piecemeal projects. You know, we said, hey, I know we're doing one content piece a month for you. It's either that It's either that you host the website and that's all we do with you, or $3,000 a month. So it was a big decision for a lot of these guys to make that jump. And in the agency world, they say that your niche should be an inch wide and a mile deep, meaning our niche in the green industry is companies that are doing seven figures and up in the green industry, so lawn, landscape. That to us, when you look at some of the other agencies, is very narrow. So that's your inch wide, but mile deep, meaning there are tens of thousands of those companies around the country. So we still have a big pool to work with there. And of course, right now we haven't tapped that entire market by any means, but we're working on it. Scalability is huge for us as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. You brought up a couple good things, which was a seven-figure agency. Mm-hmm. Can you chat about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So seven-figure agency is a mastermind group. I'm sure that many of the listeners and yourself included are in masterminds. Masterminds are what we have found leapfrog, actually, I believe was the term that you used, or Marvin Salcido used during his presentation. I didn't think of Marvin. But leapfrog, it really helps you leapfrog the business. You know, stand on the shoulders of giants. Learn from people that have already done this before. You're not the only person that has a multi-million dollar landscaping company and wants to grow faster. We're not the only agency that is multi-million dollars and wants to grow faster. So there's all kinds of benefits of masterminds. Seven Figure was the one that we had chosen. Josh Nelson is the one who coordinates that. Fantastic mastermind. As I do this podcast, Tony, the CEO and founder of the company, and Dan, our growth specialist, are actually in Miami at a mastermind meeting with 300 other marketing agencies discussing techniques. So you guys on the green industry side probably have a Facebook group that you guys discuss ideas as far as masterminds go. Same thing for us on the agency side, but you can find some fantastic techniques. There's so many moving pieces in the agency world, and there's so many moving pieces to every single aspect of the agency world. You know, there's people that all they do is optimize a Google business profile, and they make significant money doing that, but they're the industry experts. They're the people that have tested it across hundreds and thousands of different Google business profiles to find what optimization techniques are ideal. You know, what do you need to have for content? How do your images need to be formatted? There's so many little things that go into every single aspect. So as an agency, you've got limited staff. There's no way that every single person here can know every single detail of what is cutting edge. So we use resources at our disposal. So right now in Miami, Dan and Tony are learning from experts in content creation, experts in SEO, and we share some of the own data that we've been able to collect over the years, or recently, like in this industry, we were pulling some of the State of the Union type numbers. We've got some of those as well that we're able to share. So it's fantastic when we're able to go down and see what the agency world is seeing right now and correlate that with what we're seeing in this industry. And I think that ties very well into some of those revenue type numbers, industry analysis type numbers that we were able to present at that latest conference. But I'd be happy to dive into that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Dan, your growth strategy coach, is that right?
Growth specialist, which is a fancy marketing term for sales guy.
Gotcha. I like it. So how long has he been with you?
Dan's been with us here about a year at this point. He's actually Tony's longtime high school friend, believe it or not. He was in Indiana, worked a few different trades jobs, experienced in the blue collar industry. I think he owned a company at one point as well. And there was a decision of, hey, we're looking for a salesperson. You've got the personality. You won't be treated any different than any other staff. No fancy benefits, nothing at all. You know, are you willing to move all the way across the country? Give it a shot. Here's the pay. Here's what it'll look like. You want to do it? And he said, yeah. So he flew all the way out here. It was his first time on a plane. He said it was terrifying, crazy turbulence, bouncing around, relocated down this way. And it's been a smashing success so far.
That's awesome. Good for you. I love that story. And how many employees are you guys at today?
Mm-hmm. So at this point, we're somewhere between 20 to 30 employees, slightly fluctuates depending on what's necessary. We're one of those agencies that's leaned heavily into AI, and I say that with a very large asterisk, but we have leaned heavily into AI, and we've seen fantastic improvements, many of our processes because of that. But again, heavy asterisk on how we're utilizing AI.
For sure. And where is, you said the old office was basically a pile. Where did you guys move the office to? And was that the new office? Did you build? Did you remodel?
Yeah, so that office, the initial one, was located in Apollo Beach, which is south of Tampa. It's in an older area. As far as the Tampa area is concerned, you've got downtown Tampa, which is what people think of when they think of Tampa. And then you've got the surrounding suburbs. This office was about 40 minutes south. It was in a sleepy community with some large houses. It was on the water, fantastic restaurant next door, but it was too far for employees. People couldn't drive out that way. The office was small. It was not ideal in a few ways. The AC we've talked about and the sewer as well. But we decided that we needed to move somewhere that was a little bit more central if we really wanted to grow the agency. We have all of our staff in person, which is extremely unique in the agency world. That's one of the things when we go to these masterminds, people tell us we're crazy. You've got all these people in house. What are you doing? And the answer to that is, you know, it just works. And we decided that if we wanted to continue down that route, we wanted to have the people in person, that inter-office communication, the laughs, the jokes, the culture building. We needed to do it in person. It wasn't going to happen through Zoom.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think a lot of those people that had their offices at home are all finally starting to migrate back because this is what works best.
Exactly. We relocated to right outside of downtown Tampa. So it's about a 10-minute drive for most of our staff, which they really appreciate. I know that if I've talked to our staff here, if we had that office in Apollo Beach, never would have worked. Most of these staff are north of the area. Most people don't live in the area down south, and it's just, there's no way. So relocating to this office specifically that we're in was one of those milestones, I think, for moving into the next phase of Law Online.
Cool. What does that next phase look like? Do you know yet?
Yeah, next phase is super exciting. So we did test some remote teams. I wanted to touch on that as well. So one of the things in the agency world, when you look at how teams are built, client communications, account managers, whatever you want to call them, those guys are always going to be in-house, or they're remote, but they're in the United States. Other departments, such as HR, you probably always have an office manager in-house. I can't imagine not having an office manager. You would always have... You might have your fulfillment team for social media. Those guys might be in-house, maybe some internal content creation. Most agencies, though, use a lot of overseas or outside of the office. And we wanted to take that approach. So as the company grew, we found that margins were getting smaller and smaller. Same way that you guys are getting hit by the economy, we are too, right? People are getting more expensive. Benefits are more expensive. Inflation is kicking your ass, and it's something that we're feeling as well. You know, it's something that just goes around. And as we, so most agencies there are utilizing their paid ads team and their web development team overseas, those two in particular. I would say about 90% of agencies go that route. And the reason being is those are technical skills that people around the world have. They don't necessarily require the best English speaking ability. It's based off of your technical experience. So we decided to test that. And we found that, yeah, there were cost savings involved. These people were quote unquote seniors in the role. We found that there just was too much handholding. So for example, if you wanted to rebrand a website, here's a new logo, make it look like this new branding with these new colors. It required us outlining every single aspect. Change this button to this shade of yellow and make sure the font is this. So we found that the time that we were spending on that, it just didn't make sense. So we're actually pulling all of those back in-house right now. We've got a new web developer that starts next week, and I've got active interviews for paid ads literally today after we
got off. Cool. That's awesome. And when you got hired, Zach, what was your first job with Online?
Oh man. So when I started, there was five employees. I'll give you a little bit of background. I think that leads directly into kind of where I started. I went to college for marketing and business management. I've always been entrepreneurial. I was the guy selling stuff on Facebook. I was the one that was begging the family members to play Monopoly just so I could beat them. Much to the chagrin of the family, nobody ever wanted to play Monopoly with me.
Right.
But so if anyone's listening to this and wants to take me up on a Monopoly game, I'll kick your ass. Let's do it. And we, growing up, that was the thing, right? I was always flipping stuff, selling stuff, helping someone sell something, whatever it was. It was always the next business endeavor or, you know, leading the little friend group into ideas. Let's go build a fort in the woods and we'll set up these zip lines, these grandiose ideas. We'll find ways to communicate through pipes dug in the ground. You know, it was always, what's the next idea? How can we do this? What's the crazy innovation that we can do? So I took that basically love for innovation, drive, and outside of graduated with those two degrees, and I decided that I wanted to work in the diving world. So scuba diving, actually. that was something I worked on through college. I started off as an open water diver. I worked with a local dive shop. I helped them out with their marketing and was able to get some classes for free. So I continued down that path, and I wanted to not take the corporate route. When you look at the college that I went to in Virginia, the goal was always, let's push people to DC. It was, you finish your marketing degree, great. Next step of your life is go to DC. I looked at my family and I looked at where their lives were, and they were happy individuals. Don't get me wrong. I'm very, very grateful. However, my mom was a teacher. She loved what she did, but it was stressful at times. My dad worked in DC. He commuted 40 minutes every single day through hell and back traffic. I can tell you that. That has not changed. And provided for his family and did the traditional dad role, which again, I respect and I love him, and I have nothing but words of admiration. But I saw that the grind, I saw what the grind was that it put on them. And as they grew older, you know, I saw that the wear really started to take effect. And as they retired, they were so much more happier. My dad had time to do what he wanted, time to spend with the kids. My mom was able to give back in nonprofits. And that was about the time that I was going through college. And I realized I can't go the corporate route. That I can't do that. I can't do a 9-to-5 where I know what I'm going to make for the next 10 years and have no adventure. That to me sounds like my personal definition of hell. I couldn't imagine. So I took that marketing degree and I looked at what everybody else was doing at the school I went to, and it was going to DC and sliding right into that, making decent money. But I saw what that looked like 40 years from there. I know how that ends. And to some people, that's what they want. To me, it wasn't. So I worked on that marketing or my diving certification. And as soon as I graduated college, I attended graduation. And within 1 week, I was down in the Keys working as a diving instructor, living with one of my college roommates. Her name is Ronnie. She now is in Hawaii working as a diving instructor. So we moved down there. We instructed. I did the marketing for a local dive shop. We built out videos, all of that good stuff, and helped them grow, revamp the website. And then COVID hit. When COVID hit, that turned every avenue of income for the Keys disappeared overnight. There were roadblocks. You could not get into the Florida Keys unless you had a Monroe County ID. That is how strict they were because the population is elderly. There were people selling fake IDs to get down there, which is pretty crazy. They confiscated hundreds of them, thousands of them. So when COVID hit, I had a few options. The question was what to do now. It was, do we stay in the Keys? Do we go somewhere else? Do we go back to Virginia? Do I want to try the corporate life? Do I stay here and wait it out? And you know, all factors considered, there was no money coming into the Keys. There was no plans of money coming into the Keys. So my roommate moved back home to Virginia, and she did her thing. And I decided that I had some friends out in Tampa, and I wanted to put a little bit more time and effort into the marketing side of what I was doing. Diving will always be there. I can pick it up when I want, and I still dive for fun. But I wanted to pursue something on the marketing side. So that's actually how I ended up at Lawnline. I came to Tampa and I worked on some freelance marketing gigs. You know, I walked into a cigar bar. I told the guy what I can do. Here's how much I'd like. And he said, sure, which actually was more than I was getting paid at Lawnline at the time, which is pretty funny. But I walked into Lawnline and I interviewed. And that same day, I was supposed to go do my first day at this super shitty sales job, walking around door to door during COVID selling paper products. Like, it's a joke. It's a joke. I'm supposed to be going business to business selling paper products in COVID. No chance. So I basically was trying to do anything I could to get out of that position. And I interviewed with Tony, and he said, hey, if I offer you a job today, will you take it? And I said, yes, let me go return this iPad and I will be right back. Drove back up, gave him the iPad, said, hey, thanks for that sales job. Wasn't for me. Appreciate the training. And drove right back down and said, yep, let's do it. I accepted the job there. There was 4 or 5 of us, small team. And we basically started with whatever was needed. At that time for me, it was social media posts, upsell email creation, citations, the little things that are front-facing and deliverable, but things that might not necessarily move the needle. And then from there, as the company grew, we identified that there was a need for an account manager, is what we called it at the time. So I stepped into that role. Somebody else stepped into the role that I was in, and the company continued to grow from there.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where we met. I think you were my account manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, you helped the website development, build my website. And everyone always says my website is just baller. Like, you guys did a fantastic job. Like, you guys made it super cartoony, like we talked about. It took a lot of time and effort, but it turned out really, really good. And I think you guys still use it on your own website now. which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's one of the websites that I think our creative edge really shined through on. If you look at the site, it's got graphics that were custom made. It's got fun buttons. It's got signposts that point in different directions. I think it's those little personal touches that really make that site shine. Even we built that maybe 2.5 years ago, and I still think that's one of my favorite sites that we put out.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So, but I get the phone calls all the time. Like, hey, I see you guys work with Lawnline. Would you like to jump on a call? I'm like, absolutely. Lawnline's awesome. Go there. Like, you guys did a fantastic job. Let's kind of switch gears a little bit. Well, you moved up. Are you still an account manager there, or what's your title now?
Nope. So I run operations. So I'm managing the teams of client communication specialists. We shifted the role from quote unquote account manager to client communication specialists. Reason being, account management generally implies that you are actually making decisions that impact the results that the client will get. So in some agencies, account managers are actually running Facebook ads. They're actually writing upsell emails. We took the approach here that the specialists will handle what the specialists need to handle. If you are a pro at writing upsell emails, you write the upsell emails. If you're a pro at client communications, then all I want you to do is communicate. So these guys, and I look over here because that's where they're located, right across the office. These are the guys that take in the information. They communicate it to the team of experts. The experts say, yes, no, here's the answer. And then they communicate it back. So we are very big on specialization, you know, play to your strengths. I don't expect a paid ads guy who spends hours analyzing data to get on the call and have a little bit of charisma and explain what some of these numbers mean and why they mean what they do. Those guys are not allowed in front of the clients. That's what the client communication specialists are for.
Yeah, I like that approach. Like you said, everyone has their specialty, right? Keep them in their lane. And let's just, yeah, play to strength. So let's just switch gears a little bit. You know, you guys had that great talk at the conference. Let's hit on a lot of that. Like you guys have innovated a lot of cool stuff with like probably AI that shows like, is really deep dive into like tracking your numbers through Lawnline and portal and things like that. Just kind of like, let's just go like high level, what you've seen in the marketplace over the last year. Pretty much you just repeat what you talked about at the conference, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So cool. There's a lot of data to cover on that. What we looked at was we pulled data from a variety of sources. First off, what we were wanting to identify was what are the industry trends that are affecting our clients. What we were seeing is growth wasn't as explosive as it's been the past couple of years. We saw that clients were feeling it. They were feeling that projects were getting smaller. And we as an agency said, I wonder what's really changing here behind the scenes. We have data from the majority of our clients through their CRMs. We have data through their lead sourcing, through their tracking, all of that data. So we're able to access that and analyze it, which is not as automated as I would hope, but we've got people on our team that's all that they're great at. They're great at more, but that's their specialty. And they were able to go through and analyze a lot of it. So what we pulled was search volume. So how many people are searching for certain keywords? What we pulled was the search volume data, and that data was pulled from Google itself. So those were reports on how many people are searching for certain keywords. Keywords being items like lawn care service near me or landscaping service near me. Those were the most general keywords that we were doing reports on. And we wanted to see over the past year, how have those changed compared year over year? As you know, in this industry, everything is cyclical, it's seasonal. We didn't want to see what June did to May. We wouldn't even see June last year, June this year. So we pulled data all across the country. We pulled it for specific regions, north, west, south, however you want to divide it up, it's in the presentation. But we were really looking at those national trends. And that gives us some great insight into what we were seeing and confirms a lot of the suspicions that we had, specifically looking at 21, 22, and where we are now in 2023. So by pulling that data, what we found was we looked at design build, landscaping, lawn care, and pest control. And we looked at how many people are searching for the intent-driven keywords that would impact you. So Jonas, for example, a keyword would be pest control service near me. That's what someone who is ready to purchase, wants to get on the phone and handle it, wants to do it right now, is going to search for. They're not going to search for how do I spray the outside of my house. They're not going to search for DIY preventing cockroaches. You know, we're looking for keywords that don't, one, imply DIY, or two, that imply recruiting. That was a big one as well. So we had to do some testing to root out those types of keywords. So the keywords that we ended up utilizing for the most part were X service near me, whatever that service might be. We pulled this for all across the country for the different deviations of the green industry. What we found on the good news, which we'll start with, is pest control is looking great. So Jonas, you're set. Everyone listening to this podcast that's in the pest control world, thumbs up, keep rolling with it, let the growth happen. I want to say, and I don't have this data here directly in front of me, but on average, that was up about 10%, I would say, year over year. That is one that the trend line continues to go up from 2021 forward. So pest control guys, y'all are set. Let's keep rocking with it. So we were able to pull significant data from all across the country looking at search term volume for those high intent keywords that are indicating people are actually ready to pull the trigger. And here's what we found. We'll start with pest control and we'll start with lawn care. I'm going to share my screen here for any of the visual, but we'll also walk through the numbers on the audio side.
Yeah. So all the people that are watching on YouTube, and if you're not watching on YouTube, I think you should just jump over and check this out. Super awesome data.
We're going to get started here with what does this actually mean? There's a lot of numbers here. So on the left-hand side, we're looking at the actual volume of searches for those intent keywords. So what that is saying is there was about 2 million for pest control and there was about 4 million for lawn care is what those trends show, looking at 2021 specifically. On the bottom, you've got the years, and on the middle, we've got the trend lines over time. So lawn care, as everybody expected, exploded in 2021. You're looking at a 16% increase, followed by an 8% decrease, followed by a 16% decrease. And that is compared to that initial 2020 marker. So lawn care year over year has significantly decreased and it doesn't show any trends of reversing. So for those lawn care clients out there, those lawn care companies that are wondering why fertilization is a little bit harder to sell this year, think about it like this. What this data tells me is that less people are searching for your services than ever. When I look at our clients' data and I see what sources people are coming from, believe it or not, most of them are not coming from your trucks. Most of them are not coming from a Facebook ad. It's not referrals. Where they're coming from is they're coming from Google. Someone goes on and does a search for this, and that's how they end up. When we look at our search, when we look at our volume and we look at our sources, you're looking at about 90% are coming from Google organic, which is exactly what it sounds like. You go on Google, you do a search, you click on the website. That's about 90% on average of our lead volume, if not more. This is telling me that that slice of pie that everyone, that pie that everyone is fighting over is just getting smaller and smaller. The people out there that are looking for those lawn care services are dropping. And it's something to keep in mind when you're comparing those year over year numbers and you're wondering why you're not growing by the millions like you might have in 2021. There's a whole hell of a lot less people that are actually looking for what you offer. So you have to find ways to get creative to counteract that, which we can talk about later in this presentation as well. But that's something to keep in mind. You know, if you're not growing, it's not just you. There are market trends that are affecting it. And this doesn't even include other factors like close rates. It doesn't include people moving around. It doesn't include what other disposable aspects fall within lawn care. You know, aeration, can I go without it compared to a fertilization program? Speaking on lawn care, aeration this year, unbelievably difficult to sell. Unbelievably difficult. We ran Facebook ads for one client in this October. Before that, we saw that Facebook was having a drop off as far as closing rates go. We wanted to test it again. Aeration, normally for most lawn care companies, is that huge spike that you see in the fall. It's a revenue generator. It's kind of like that last push before the winter. Would you agree with that, Jonas?
100%.
Okay. And what we saw when we ran some of these Facebook ads, similar ads that had performed fantastic, 10x ROI, no issues. We ran them again this October just to see. And what we found was 1 in 35 of those actually converted. And that one that converted was a referral.
Wow.
Unbelievably difficult to sell on the aeration side through Facebook specifically. We've talked to other clients around the country and aeration just hasn't exploded like it did the other couple of years. It's one of those disposable services that people look at and say, can I cut this out of my budget? Yes or no. And if they're deciding on ways to cut their lawn care, they're not going to cut the whole program. They're going to find those little bits of fat that they can trim off the edges, right? So looking at the lawn care side, that's the general summary over the past couple of years. When we look at pest control, it's up compared to last year. So it held pretty steady. I would say a 7% fluctuation compared to some of the other data that we're going to see isn't massive from 20 to 21 to 22. That's relatively steady. But when you look at 23 and it's up 15%, That's fantastic. Keep in mind that these charts here are not necessarily to scale because you've got different search volume. But when you see a 15% growth year over year, that's a good sign. Hopefully that will continue into next year. I don't have any data that can predict that, unfortunately, but it's just something that we would keep in mind when you're comparing those year over year numbers. Understand, wow, massive year in 23 compared to 22 does help that 15% more people are actually looking for what you're selling.
And I think you always wonder why, right? But it's like one of the last, the way I look at it, there's a couple of different things. Like, I feel like there's a lot of talk about pest control. There's a lot more people marketing for it. The climate's also been warming up too. So I think some more bugs are pushing up more northern than they're used to. And then as far as like the clients wanting to cut things, like, you know, it's always said it's been a recession proof industry. So you just wonder if like that's the last thing people cut because they want to take care of their home. They want to keep care of their landscaping. They want to keep, you know, they want to keep the bugs out. So I feel it's like one of the last things that people will drop. So then I was like, well, then we talked about like, would they drop mowing first or would they drop pest control first? I was like, well, if it was me, I would just pay the neighborhood kid to go mow the lawn or go do it myself. But the last thing that I'm going to do myself personally, I think it's just going to be the pest control side. But that's just the way I look at it. And I could be totally wrong.
Yeah. I mean, we've actually had a very similar internal discussion here as to why pest control might be rising. And two of those factors that stood out were absolutely items that we discussed here. One being climate change, pushing insects potentially further north, lengthening the seasons that they might be able to stay out and active. That was one factor there. And the other factor is exactly what you mentioned. No one's going to do their own pest control. That's the last thing people are going to be looking at cutting.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, you can go pay some 10, 15 bucks to go mow your lawn if you wanted to, just a neighborhood kid, you know? So that's just how I looked at it too. So I'm glad we're on the same page. Again, I could just be blowing smoke. I don't know.
Yeah. We've discussed the same things internally. I can tell you that we've had probably another half dozen people involved in that discussion that are even much smarter than I am, and they all agreed with us on that.
Do you have any stuff on landscape, like hardscape in general?
Yeah, that's next.
Oh, sweet.
Let's see what we got. This is the one that I encourage everyone to take a deep breath before we look at this next slide.
So if you guys are landscapers, just plug your ears for this.
Yeah, design build guides, you might want to shut off the podcast.
It's the hard truth though, right?
Yeah, this is the hard truth. Before we even get into this, this was one of those discussions, again, that we've had internally. A lot of these conferences are a lot of hoorah, you know, rally around each other, and it's great, we push each other forward. There's never really a consideration for some of the other negative aspects. Like, there was no other presentation that I heard, at least, that talked about the fact that we're on, like, the precipice of a recession and what that means for people's wallets. I didn't hear anyone bringing up those negative aspects. It's always, let's grow, let's do this. And that's great, but I think that we need to be realistic and look at the other side of the coin as well.
Yeah, no, it's smart. I actually believe that was a really good thing you guys did. Because you guys, you know, if someone has to change their business model quick, they have the winter to figure it out.
Correct. Exactly. The same way that you guys retool in the winter, we do the same things here. Now is the time to take a look at what the data says and get yourself ready.
Right.
Here's what we found. Similar search terms of patio installations near me, backyard renovation service near me. Those are the same types of keywords we used on the design build side. Design build picked up in 2022. Seemed like the economy was getting better. We're out of COVID. People have, you know, maybe a little more discretionary income. And then this year, we saw that plummet like we've never seen before. This is probably the most concerning graphic on this entire presentation. And if there is one thing that our listeners take away from it, I encourage it to be this slide. This design build drop off, I think, is even more positive than what is actually reflected in the marketplace. And here's the few reasons why. That we're seeing a 35% drop off looking at that data compared to where we're at in 2020. And when I see that 35%, there's a few things that you guys should know about how that data was pulled. First off, it was pulled from the entire 12-month period compared to the 12-month period previously. So if we're looking at year over year, that would have been from middle of November back through January, pulled from the same time last year. That includes spring, that includes summer, that includes fall. What is, again, important to understand about that is when we really saw these drop-offs on a nationwide level, it really started happening after spring. For most of the clients that we work with, we saw that spring was pretty standard compared to last year. There wasn't too much grumbling on the economic side. The growth was still there. And as that spring turned to summer, is when people were knocking down our door asking what's happening. And any of the design build guys, I would love to hear some feedback on that if that's something that you saw in your world. But I can tell you that across the country with the 80 or so clients that we're working with, it was unanimous. Depending on where you were, some were hit worse than others, specifically starting from that May, June time period up through November. That's when we really saw things grind to a halt. One of the data points that I like to reference, we've got a client out in Omaha. She is a design, she runs the design build side of this company. They work with suppliers, and these suppliers were telling her that they went from 150 phone calls a week to about 25. She said that material sales are down like they wouldn't believe. And this was back in June, July. And I can tell you that the numbers that we have seen from June forward through November do not look any better than that 35% drop off. I think that 35% drop off is actually a safer number than what is really happening in the past few months.
Yeah, so I just Googled real quick just to see when the interest rates went up for the first time as you're talking. And the first one occurred in February, and the Fed raised the rate by 25 basis points or 0.25%, bringing the target range to 4.5%, right? But then from there, it just kept climbing. So I was just trying to take your time frame and like, okay, when did the interest rates actually go up? And then where they went, obviously up since there, a couple more points. So now that people are paying, you know, but I don't know what the Fed rate is, or now like 7.5-8%, something like that. Yeah, so it's like, okay, well, now it makes sense, right? That's probably maybe the biggest factor. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, it's just me assuming again. But one of the bigger factors, I would imagine.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, if you don't have the money to spend on those larger luxury services, if you're looking to spend $30,000 right now at an 8% interest, the people, and we're going to look at some of the closing rates as well, but what you find is that closing rates actually have slightly increased, which is unusual. We would have expected it to completely fall off. But when you look at that $30,000 that you're going to spend on that product or that service, question is, can I finance it? If I do finance it, what do the costs look like for me? And significantly more expensive than it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so the interest rate now is 7.76.
Yeah.
That's a 30-year fixed rate. So if they're paying 4.5% February, March, and then now it's almost doubled, their payment's going to double. Mm-hmm. So maybe it would have cost them, you know, $1,000 a month is going to now cost them near $2,000 a month or more, you know? Yep. So yeah, that's a big jump.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we don't have the data to necessarily back this up, but when we see those closing rates rise, we do ask why we see like such a major drop off in really most of our clients' search volume. And one of the things that we consider is if lead volume is down, maybe the leads that are reaching out
more qualified.
Exactly.
Which makes sense because the people who have the money are still going to go do it regardless. Yep. But those are probably the more qualified leads that are coming through. So yep. They're easier to close. Yeah, makes sense.
100%. Landscaping doesn't look nearly as painful. Keep in mind, the scale here is a little bit shifted. On the left-hand side, we're looking at 150,000 annual searches is what that data shows on the left for the search terms that we were looking at. On the right, you're looking at 600,000 to 800,000, you know, significantly larger pool. But that still is trending downwards. So landscaping guys, I would be aware that is now down 16% compared to 2020. I would keep a heavy eye on that as well. And these worlds, design, build, landscaping, these overlap very heavily. Consider what most people are searching for and how that might impact this data. People aren't searching for hardscape installation in my backyard. They're searching for patio installer near me, or they're searching for backyard renovation. They're searching for landscaping renovation in my backyard. And to them, that might mean landscaping renovation, might mean patios, it might mean landscaping. So there's a little bit of a convergence, I would say, on this data here, a little bit more of an overlap. So that's the reason that these two are on the same slide. But generally speaking, yeah, I would have some major concerns on the design, build, and landscaping side. But we do have a few thoughts on what we can do to counteract that.
What are you thinking?
So a few things. One, referrals. Referrals, referrals, referrals. Whatever that means on the hardscape side, whatever that means on the pest control side, I'm not the expert on referral programs. I'll be the first one to admit that. I encourage you to talk with your peer groups, talk with your masterminds, figure out what's working and what's not. Jonas, what are you doing on lawn care and pest control for referrals?
Yeah, we have a great referral program. We have it all automated at this point. We've always been generous because we want to force people to give more referrals. So what we do is that we give the person who is giving the referral a free service, and the person that's getting the free service or getting the initial service, we'll give that to them for free too. So it's about a $300 client acquisition cost, but we know the referrals tend to stick with us 5 to 7 years. So it's worth the extra, and they trust us more, and they trust their neighbor, and they trust their family. So
perfect. I love that idea. The design build side, I think you might have to get a little bit more creative.
Yeah.
Could be something like, if you refer me and they buy a patio, we'll install a fire pit for you or something like that. I don't know. But there's room there for some ideas. Additionally, we found that upselling is going to be significantly more valuable, continuing to work that internal client base. Don't burn them out. Think about how many emails you receive in a week, in a day. Since we've been sitting here, there's probably 30 emails that I've gotten. Sign up for this. Here's a coupon. You know, whatever it is. People are so burnt out on email. So we found that email and SMS in conjunction is really what gets the best results. Your actual click-through rate actually doubles when you're using both of those. SMS has a 99% open rate, as we all know. You open it, you click it. Anyone gets a text message, you're going to be looking into it. So upselling that internal customer base is huge without burning them out. It's a fine line that you have to work. You know, we encourage finding ways to deliver value that isn't just sales. The technique that we use internally that we've actually found great results from, I can think of a couple of companies that we've added probably about $500,000 of revenue just by utilizing these upsells. And that was for a turf care company, actually, is we send out an SMS and email in conjunction just a few seconds apart. And the message looks like it comes from you, the owner. We keep it simple. We've tested graphical, which is your standard email that everyone throws in the trash. And we tested plain text, which is literally looks like it was written by Jonas. Jonas sat down and said, "Hey team, I want to reach out and let you know that we are seeing more cockroaches than we have ever seen before. Right now, I know that it's this time of the year. And because of that, cockroaches are going to be getting worse. We saw that you weren't on this program, and I want to make sure that your pantry stays cockroach free and your home stays as clean and as spick as you'd like. If you have any questions, shoot me an email back. And if you'd like to move forward, click this link and one of my talented teammates will reach out to you." Simple, just like that. And we found that people respond and say, "Thank you, Jonas. I appreciate you reaching out. I was worried about that. Can you tell me more about this?" Or, "Thanks, Jonas, for taking the time out of your day to shoot me a quick message." You know, people actually respond to these.
So it was actually really cool, and we obviously do the same thing, but I had this marketing idea that was basically, I was walking around the block, true story, walking around the block getting attacked by mosquitoes. So like, I'm literally telling the story of me walking around the block, getting attacked by mosquitoes, thinking like, man, I hope my house doesn't have mosquitoes, but I want to make sure that all my customers are safe too. Basically, it was what I worded, and then it was a little bit, you know, I can't remember how long it was exactly, but then I ended with, "Hey, I have to jump off here. This email now. I got to go watch my daughter wrestle." Oh, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. This thing goes out, or 7 o'clock in the morning. This thing goes out. We were actually weighing in for wrestling for my daughter when it hit. So it was like perfect timing. It went through the roof. It was amazing how well it converted.
Yeah.
Just like making it real. Like it's just you like telling the story.
No, exactly. And that's what we're doing here on this podcast as well, right? We're having conversations, we're tying it in with what is actually happening. It's not a sales pitch by any means. It's like, let's provide some info. Here's what I'm seeing in the market. Same way for you. Here's the mosquitoes that I'm seeing in your neighborhood.
For sure.
People want to relate.
Yeah. So like, as far as like the, going back to the email text campaign, how often would you guys recommend over X period of time?
Yeah. Our recommendation on that is once a month. Don't burn them out. Pick a good choice of whatever that upsell service is that you want to do. Genuinely analyze it. If you don't believe me that a plain text email works, test it. Tell me that I'm wrong. I could be. Maybe your market performs differently. That's what testing is for. Like anyone,
you're not wrong in my market.
There you go. Test it. Send it out. Send that graphical email. Split test the list. Do a upsell on the graphical. And then just write an email. And like Jonas said, I love that personal touch of, gotta hop off now. My daughter's gonna go wrestle. Let me know if you need any help.
And it was funny because I remember a guy emailed back. He's like, "You're at wrestling this time?" And my office told me this. Like, you're at wrestling this time early in the morning. And they actually smiled like, "Yeah, we are." And like, "Oh my God, that's awesome. Good luck." It was so cool. Didn't know the guy even, but it was just really cool.
Absolutely. And if you'd like, you can drop an image into those messages, those plain text ones for maybe the design build side. But the best results just look genuine and like they came from the owner.
And then, so you say one campaign per month or one email per month?
So I would say one campaign per month, with that campaign having a second touch point. So the way that we structure it here, and again, this has been tested with a whole host of data points, but we send out an SMS and email in conjunction, just a minute or two apart. So you get two different notifications is the goal. And then we also send out a second touch point. We call them multi-touch point campaigns. We send out a second touch point, generally about a week later. And all that one says is, hey, saw that you hadn't reached out, just wanted to see if you're seeing these issues with mosquitoes like I am, or whatever that might be. If so, click this link and someone will reach out.
Now, would you, on the second touch point, would it be the same thing, email and text conjunction?
Email and text. Cool. And we make sure that we remove the people that have clicked. You don't want to confuse them. That's the last thing. You know, it's kind of like WWE kayfabe. I was listening to a podcast the other day that was talking about how that got started. You don't want to break that screen of illusion of, hey, is this coming from the owner or not? Because as soon as you click that link and now you get a second one that says, oh, sorry, you didn't reach out. Kayfabe's gone. People are going to know. People don't want to lean into that anymore. So ensuring that there's a little bit of a screen there. And I encourage you even just to send off your own messages. It could be directly written by you, the owner. Feel free to send those out. It doesn't have to go through a marketing person. As an owner, if there's a few spelling errors in there, if it's not formatted perfectly, that's okay. That's what we want. We want it to look real. Give the illusion that this is actually coming from you.
Yeah. And I remember like back in the day, like just learning, like just to have it say, even if you write it from your computer, it's just write down from my iPhone. Mm-hmm. Just to put that little bit more personal touch on it.
Yep. I love that idea.
So just this few little things that just make it unique that looks like it's coming from your phone, like you wrote it.
Yes, absolutely. Don't corporatize it. Doesn't have to be perfect. Don't overthink it and test it. And if it works better, run with it. If it doesn't, then go back to graphical, you know, and test and figure out what works. That's what this is all about.
Love it. We're already running out of time, which is crazy because it goes by so fast. But real quick, why don't you tell us some of the new features that you guys have integrated inside LawnLine that have you found of super beneficial? I heard some from Tony's talk. Absolutely amazing. I think that everyone want to hear this too.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something that we've been building over the past, I would say, 6 months to a year. And with the economy in the situation that it's currently in, and with people feeling a certain way about the economy, this is the time to start dialing in on that ROI. This is the time to figure out what is actually working and what is not. If you're used to spending $1,000 on Facebook, consider it, track it, and figure out if it's actually closing. If it's not, switch your money, you're wasting it. Figure out what is actually closing. And I know that that is easier said than done. I 100% understand that, which is actually why we built a tool to help you out. This tool, what it does is it talks with Service Autopilot. So anytime a lead gets entered into Service Autopilot, there's an email and a phone number that's associated with it, and then there's a dollar amount of what that actual sale was. For any leads that come through any of our systems here, and you could set this up on your own as well, we use WhatConverts. It tracks all of your lead sources. So if anyone calls in through a Google organic, they hit your website, they call that, we're able to track and see that it came from there. Same thing when we look at any type of paid advertising. You look at Facebook ads, Google ads, those all have different links. They all have different tracking numbers. And what you're able to do is figure out where these sources are actually coming from. Do not trust the people that tell you, oh, I found you through Google. Okay, Google Ads, Google Organic, Google Business Profile, Google Local Services. I mean, the list goes on. Same thing if they say, I found you through a truck. Tell me more. How did you actually get to the site? You don't have to, there's some value in that, don't get me wrong. But when I see the data and the data tells me that, hey, here's 15 Facebook ads that came in and one out of 15 converted, that's something to keep in mind. You know, that's an actual hard data point that we can reference. So the system that we've been building connects your Service Autopilot, so that actual lead closed data, and it connects it back to those sources. So we can go into a platform and I can type in Google Organic and I can see literally how many dollars were generated through your Service Autopilot that came through a Google Organic lead. This is significantly more important when we're looking at the paid side, when you consider Facebook ads, Google ads. You know, you're spending serious dollars on these things. I mean, most of our clients are spending $15,000 at least a year. We've got some that spend $150,000. So understanding really what's getting dialed in, what's working and what's not going into next year is going to be unbelievably important. And having a tool that can do it for you, that's automated, that runs behind the scenes, that's just such a leg up. You know, the marketing world is notorious for not tracking ROI. How many times, I mean, you've worked with marketing agencies, right?
I have, and that was one of the biggest frustrations, not just from me, but from like the service industry as a whole. Like, they're always frustrated. Like, I realized that I spent $5,000, but what did that $5,000 get me? What always, like, and I've heard this thousands of times.
Yep. 100%. That is the Achilles heel of marketing agencies, is how do you actually prove it? Now, this does not prove everything. There's always going to be branding aspects. You might be running a Facebook branding campaign and they saw your retargeting banners that are displaying around the internet. And then they were like, oh, okay, I saw a truck that triggered this. I'm going to call, right? There's never perfect. And I don't want to misconstrue anything. It will never be perfect. But if I can tell you that with 90% certainty that your ROI on Facebook ads is 10x, or if I'm slightly off, it's 9x, you know what I mean? That's what helps guide those decisions. Going into next year, unbelievably vital.
Yeah, that's incredible. And Tony brought that up on stage. I'm like, finally, it's there. And it's super cool too. What do the next 5 years look like for Lawnline? I know you're on the leadership team, so like.
Yeah, I've got some insights. Next 5 years here. So I work on the operations director. So ensuring that processes are smooth and are executing to the full potential that they have is really one of my main focuses. As far as the direction of the company, there's some really cool stuff that we're doing internally. We were talking about masterminds previously. 7-figure is great. We're one of the larger agencies in that space. We actually joined a new mastermind. And this mastermind works with clients that are multi-millions. It's led by another marketing agency that's at, I think, 25, 30 million. So significantly past where we are. And so that's really exciting. We're getting a lot of SOPs and training documents from them that we're able to modify here and run with internally. However, what the company's looking to do is we're making some changes to our internal structure. So there's a few cool changes. In the next 5 years, we're implementing it this year, but rolling out for next, is project managers. That's not something that most agencies have. This is someone, because our client communications people are just that, right? They take in information, they give it to that team. That team does the work and gives it back. There needs to be somebody that sits in between that communications and that fulfillment. Because fulfillment guys are great at fulfilling. They can build you a damn great website, Jonas knows, but they're not good at managing a workload. So we're bringing in people that can basically manage and delegate that workload. So you just come in here, you click on the My Day tab, same way that you guys have at Service Autopilot. We've got one here internally in our software, and you see due on this date, it'll take this long. This is due today. This is due tomorrow. So someone that's better at managing those aspects behind the scenes. Additionally, we are looking at bringing more people back in-house, scaling that up. SOPs and software are also huge for us. Most agencies in the space are not great about SOPs. We, for every single task that exists within our system, we are working on having an SOP for. So everything from, let me change the banner on a Google Business profile, which touches graphic design, it touches the team that posts it, it touches the team that reviews it, you know what I mean? From that all the way to how do you build a website. Additionally, while we're working on those SOPs and processes, we're figuring out how we can leverage AI. And again, I'll explain what that means just briefly without...
That was actually what I was going to bring up.
Yeah. So AI for us might be a little bit different than how other agencies are utilizing AI. For us internally, we actually have built and trained our own model. So most agencies are going to ChatGPT and they're putting in some prompts and they're getting the information out. The problem is that information that they're getting out comes from the internet. It comes from data sources that have been around, which is great if you want to get a overall impression of how something should be done. But if you have a very specific way that your processes are handled, then it needs to be internally trained. So for our some social posts, for Google Business Profile optimizations, for some upsell emails, some content writing, we're training models and we've rolled this out for some of our content and it's worked fantastic. It's ranking better than content that's written by people, actually. We've been able to train models with our own data. So we say, this is what your blog post should look like if it's written about this service, it's located within this area, and it utilizes these keywords. Here's 150 data points of what that should be. Now, when we go in there, we've trained that model. We say, hey, write a blog on XYZ in this area. It cranks it out. It writes it actually in HTML, which is pretty wild. So it puts it out and it's got your H1, H2, it's got a call out. And then that goes through a human editing process. So now our humans spend about a half hour, 15 to 30 minutes per piece, reviewing it, making sure the information is accurate, doing their own research. And these are the same people that initiated the prompt to start. So we've been able to rank content better than ever, that you will never run into issues with Google saying, oh, there's a AI copy, watermark, right? You're never going to run into that because it's based off of our information, not based off of what's floating around the internet. So we're doing that for a whole host of items here internally so that we don't have to keep reinventing the wheel. We've got the data that we know works. We've tested it. And now we're able to get even better results because we're utilizing that whole host. You take out that human error of he might write slightly different than this and which one performs better. If it's all in one amalgamous pool, you're able to pull that human editing factor in. And now you've got what is effectively human written content plus a second set of human eyes, actual human eyes. And now you're getting content pieces that perform better than ever.
Dude, that was fire. straight fire there. Super awesome.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, we've cut our content writing time down from about 3.5 hours, 3 hours per content piece to like 30, 40 minutes. And the quality is better than ever. Like, why not?
Love that. Everyone reach out to Zach, Law Online. They're awesome what they do. They do it all. They're a great marketing company. I highly recommend them. I've known these guys for a long time. Zach, I super appreciate your friendship and I appreciate you being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking the time and getting us on here. I really appreciate that. And I was told there was a final question at the end of these interviews.
What are you most proud of?
Ooh, is it that? That's not what I was prepared for. I'll answer that one though.
And I have another one to follow.
Okay, all right.
So let's start this way because this is usually how it rolls. So give me your top two books that you recommend.
Ooh, okay. Yes. Does it have to be marketing related or
nope? Not at all. Just what you think others should read.
All right. For this industry, if there's two books that I recommend that anybody reads right now, content is huge. Jonas knows it more than Jonas. You're the person that I actually send people to if they have questions about content. I'm not going to lie. I show them your website. I show them what you're doing. So content is huge. If you have not read Content Inc., it is fantastic. It's about how to build an internal content producing system. How it should be an integral part of your business, how to do it, gives you a roadmap, shows you exactly how. I will add another book on there that I'm sure you guys hear all the time, so I'm not going to dive into it, but Traction, EOS, look into it. It's very much business 101, but it's business 101 in the book.
Absolutely.
So I think love that it. You guys should look into that if you haven't already. And the third book, I'm the type of person that always has three books in rotation, actually. I always have a nonfiction that I'm reading at the beach or at my bedside. It's normally horror. I'm a big horror fan. Number two is a business book of some sorts, whether that is Dennis Yu's book on TikTok ads. That's what I'm currently reading. And I've got three or four others behind me right here. And the third book is always a spirituality, meditation, mindset book of some sort. And I found that those three give you the options that you need to rotate through if you're getting bored with the current book and you want to change the pace. You know, you don't watch the same TV show, you know, the whole season straight through. You might mix it up. There's different books for different attitudes, mindsets. So I would recommend on the mindset side, The Power of Now is a fantastic book.
Love that book. Yep.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have read that. I think that it's got a little bit of a cliche name. Every book in that world seems to have a funny name kind of like that. But it's got a lot of great tips of how to view your mind, how to view your life, you know, the watcher. Are you your brain? Are you your spirit? Are you your body? What are you? And how does that connect with the whole mindset aspects of business? And it's not even centered around business, but so much of it carries over. And the changes that you make on your personal life 100% carry over to your productivity here.
Yeah, that's super awesome. It's funny that the words get not those final questions. It just cracks me up. Zach, what are you most proud of personally and professionally? I always like to make people. I like to make people reflect of what where they've come from. Because, as an entrepreneur or entrepreneur as yourself, what tends to happen is that we just forget how far we've come and what we've done over that year. Or if you were to take yourself out of that, you know, go on vacation for a year and come back a year later, you'd be like, "Holy crap! Look what we accomplished this year." But when you're in it every single day, you don't see the growth. So I think it's just good to have people reflect for a little bit.
I agree. I think that's a fantastic question to ask, but I would bet most people do not like answering that question.
They don't. Like I've seen people like get emotional about it, which is cool.
Yeah, it definitely puts you in a reflective state, which again, I think is super important for that reasons that you outlined, you know, understanding where you're coming from, where you're going and how much you really have made progress on. I would say there's two aspects that go hand in hand for me on the business side that I'm most proud of. When we started this company, there was a little bit of direction. There was some ideas of what we wanted to do, where we wanted to go, and how we were going to do it. But there was never really a hard plan of how to get there. And as the company grew, we realized this is what we need to be focusing on. It's going to be on the SOPs. It's going to be on getting the right people and whatever else comes along with that. So being able to take something that had 10 clients and was doing fine and grow it into something where we're able to touch lives and change things by millions of dollars, you know, helping people grow, seeing the satisfaction on the face of someone when you get on there and they said, I haven't been able to hire for this role in years and your recruiting system knocked it out of the park. I've got two people. I thought we were going to have to search all over the country. You know, seeing the results that have occurred because we've been able to do a good job internally on that level as well. Another thing that I'm very proud of is when we started here, it was the company culture wasn't what it is now. It was very much keep your head down, work, do your job, and go home, which works for some people, but it doesn't work for everybody. And as the company grew, Tony realized that he can't do this by himself, and he allowed the leadership team to have more discretion and impact onto where this company should grow. And as us, the experts in certain niches of what we do, as we had more say over the direction of, hey, should we roll out more PTO days? Or should we dial in on this system compared to this system? You found that the company grows faster, people are more happy, you get more insights from varying degrees. So I would say being able to be someone who just turned 26 and having my decision impact the direction of a multi-million dollar company that touches thousands of other people every single day and actually see the positive impacts that that has, that's probably what I'm most proud of on the business side.
That's a great answer. Love it. And we didn't even get to touch on the recruiting. So we'll have to have you back on to talk about recruiting at some point.
I got recruiting numbers too.
Cool. We get, like I said, maybe we can jump on in a few weeks and go over all recruiting. It's going to be that time of year. It's off season. People need to recruit now. Not that they should ever stop, but it's super important to get recruited up and get ready for spring.
What are you most proud of, Jonas?
Man, that's a great question. My kids, family.
What are you most proud of in your personal life? Give me something. Give me a highlight in the past 12 months that stood out that you didn't think was going to be possible 12 months prior.
That's a great question. Building to open up three markets at the same time. I mean, it's never done it before. And now I can say that I have. And now we're going to try to double and triple that next year. So that's probably what I'm most proud of about our team. We've overcome a lot of obstacles as usual. Always new software. There's always new stuff coming at you. But we've stuck out together. My core group. And with that team, I think I can move the world. So proud of having those people around me too. Personally, this is my kids, my family, and I lost my dad a year ago today. So that's heavy on my heart for sure. But just making him proud every single day is really what moved the needle for me. Like I feel like I have this power inside of me that grandpa and dad are watching over me, that they won't let me fail. And they'll give me the power and the energy to make my dreams come true. It's hard to explain.
No, I get it. We talked, I know a year ago we were at Service Edge Conference, and I know that I believe you were supposed to be there, and unfortunately your dad passed and you weren't. I know that how hard that was. I know that the entire industry, everybody there, you know, felt for you in that moment.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to hear like just the impact that me not being there, like what happened to my family. Like I had everyone like there, was my friends and you guys there to support me, and like they said, it's just a whole different energy, and I wish I'd have been there to feel it, but I was there. I got to watch it all on Zoom, which is something cool with my entire family. Got to watch The Biggest Badass live. It was just really cool. But so that's heavy on my heart today. So I'm going to spend the rest of the afternoon. I have a bunch of family in town. Just go hang out with those guys, have dinner, and just reflect on, you know, the past, you know, 38 years I had my dad. So
you got it. Life is short. You really do have to make the most of every moment.
Yeah. So like I said, I just, enjoy my kids while I can and make sure that I'm a great dad and make sure I'm a great leader and always invest in myself and invest in my leaders and make sure they get better every day too. So
absolutely.
Thanks for asking the question. It's like a perfect day.
A little bit.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you being here. Good talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the whole team behind the scenes here setting all this up. And I look forward to talking with you again soon, sir. Don't be a stranger.
Well, I won't, I promise.